This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today's Thursday, May 25th, 2006. And right off, I want to say I said the wrong date on yesterday's show. John Ong pointed that out to me on the comments on the website, that I said May 26th. I think that's what he said. Yeah, he said you said Wednesday, May 26th. I'm sorry, John. I meant yesterday, May 24th. Today is May 25th, Thursday. Anyway, as the theme has been going this week, this is birthday week, day four. And I don't know if I'll go all the way to seven or not, but definitely during the days that I'm doing podcasts, I will certainly mention what day of the birthday week it is. And this being day four, I thought I would come home and open my mailbox and see lots of cards in the mail from relatives and friends who always send me birthday cards. But today I only got one card, the very first birthday card, I must say. And the very first birthday card was from my mother. And I don't know about your mother, but my mother has gotten into this routine of sending these very mushy cards. And let me read this. It's on the front, it just says, "Son." Then it says, "For every thoughtful thing you've said, for every loving thing you've done, for every happy smile you've given, your love just that much more. Happy birthday, son. Love, Mom." And of course, I'm shaking the card and no money's falling out or anything. So no gift from the mother. But then again, in our family, we haven't been giving gifts for birthdays for a very long time. But that was very sweet of my mother to remember my birthday and send me a card 5 days before my birthday. So thanks, Mom. I wonder who else I will get birthday cards from. I'll have to wait and see. So on birthday week day four, we did get our first birthday card from Mom. Now, something funny, not funny, but interesting happened today at work. I have this parent of a kid in my class, and she's been a parent for years, and I've actually had all three of her children, and this is her last one that I have now. And I've dealt with this lady many, many times. We're good friends. Not really, not good friends, but we're good. We have a great relationship in terms of parent, teacher, that kind of thing. And so, and she comes in every Wednesday to help the art teacher with art. Well, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about growing up in the area and what schools we went to and that kind of thing, because we're the same age. She's 42 and I'm going to be 42 next Monday, hint, hint. But we were talking about growing up in the area, and we both mentioned what middle school or, you know, junior high school that we went to. And as it turns out, we went to the same middle school, at least for seventh grade. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize that. And she said the same thing. And she's like, I don't think I even knew you in seventh grade. I'm like, I know I didn't know you. And I said, well, I don't even have my yearbook, so I wouldn't even know what you look like. And she said, well, I think I still have mine. So this time when she came in for art, she brought the yearbook for her. And the yearbook is from 1977. I know many of you listening to this are very young, you know, and probably don't even remember 1977 or weren't even born in 1977. But so, of course, she has the place marked in the book with a bookmark of where my picture is and where her picture is. And the funny part is that she hasn't changed a bit. And, you know, she still has the same look and, you know, she looks great and all that. But I'm looking at my picture. I'm like, oh, my God, I look like such a dork in seventh grade. And I don't know how much you know of the 70s, but in 1977, leisure suits were really in. And I have a twin brother, as I've mentioned several times on the podcast. And in the yearbook, of course, my twin brother is right next to me in the yearbook. And we are both wearing, it looks like, because the pictures are in black and white, it looks like matching leisure suits, but they're not matching. I remember that mine was a tan color, and we had one of those wild, big-collared 70s shirts on underneath the coat, and the collar of the shirt is sticking out on top of the collar of the coat, and God, we just look like such dorks. But I do remember that my brother was wearing a mint green-colored leisure suit. I had the tan one, and he had the mint green-colored one. Oh my God, we were such dorks. And then, seeing this yearbook just brought back all these memories of how much I hated seventh grade. Actually, that was the beginning of all the times that I hated seventh grade, because that's the time when people start dividing lines between the geeks and the nerds and the popular kids and the jocks and all that stuff. And it was definitely in place since 1977 in middle school. And I remember that I was very much a nerd, a dork, a geek, and I'm sure, and of course, just like everybody else, well, at least as far as I know, I got called queer. Actually, I don't think they used the word queer. I think they just used the word gay and stuff like that. And I didn't think anything of it because I already knew that I was gay, although I wasn't doing anything or being outwardly gay that I could tell, but I already knew that I had crushes on guys and stuff. But so I just hated that time because that's in seventh grade, you're going through puberty, you're figuring out what you like, what you don't like, and things are growing. And I can remember, well, looking at this yearbook, I should say, it reminds me of things that happened to me in seventh grade. And looking at all these pictures of all these different people, it reminds me of all the guys that I had crushes on in seventh grade. And I'm looking through, I'm thinking, oh my God, that guy is so cute, and oh yeah, that guy's hot, and all this kind of stuff, thinking, what do they look like today? I just can't imagine. And then I came upon a guy that I did hang out with a lot in seventh grade and definitely had a crush on. And it reminded me of something that happened, probably 4 or 5 years ago. I don't even remember exactly when it was. It was a long time ago. And I don't know if I've told the story or not, but that was a while ago when I was in my slutty tricking days, where you would get on AOL and hook up with a guy just for some quick sex and then move on. But there was this one guy, and he said he was bi, and he was looking for just a quickie or whatever. So I give him the directions to my house, and he comes over. And when I open the door, I instantly know who he is, but he doesn't know who I am. So, of course, we go ahead and fool around, have sex and everything. And the guy is absolutely hot. He is like unbelievably hot. And I don't even know if I should be telling the story, but what the hell. And then after he left, I'm racking my brain thinking, oh my God, I knew him in seventh and eighth grade. And then we went to different high schools, after eighth grade. And oh my God, did he remember me? And I was in love with him and thought he was so hot back in seventh and eighth grade. I wonder if he remembered me. Well, as it turns out, I saw him again online, a couple of months later, and of course he was looking again for some quick sex. And I'm chatting him up, and in the conversation, I say to him, I say, by the way, do you remember who I am actually? And he was hemming and hawing, and he said, yes, actually, I do remember you, and I remembered you at the time because in my building, when you call up from the security phone, my name gets flashed up on the screen, and he remembered me from my name. So interesting. So he came back over, and we had a great time again. But then that was the last I ever saw of him. I think after that I got a boyfriend or something. I don't remember what. But and when I have a boyfriend, I don't fool around online. But that guy, oh my God, he was so hot. And then seeing his picture today, just like brought back all these memories and thinking, oh my God, I wonder where he is now. But anyway, back to seventh grade. I remember at the time my brother was in the very popular crowd. Actually, and at that time in eighth grade, I had an older brother who was in eighth grade, and he was very popular. He was the jock. He was the, he wasn't in student government or anything like that, but he was definitely in the popular crowd. And I was the geek and the nerd and in the, nerdy group. I didn't join any clubs though in seventh and eighth grade. And looking at this yearbook, there were all kinds of clubs I could have joined. I'm surprised that I didn't. I actually didn't start joining any clubs until high school, but oh, this book just brought back so many memories. And looking at all these pictures of all these people that actually ended up going to the same high schools I did, and I ended up not talking to them or being friends with them for the entire 4 years of high school, it was really wild just, thinking, seeing all these pictures and thinking about junior high school. And it was so long ago, 1977, almost 30 years ago. It was so funny. So she lent me the yearbook, and I brought it home, and I'm still looking at all these pictures and stuff, and looking at these people, thinking, where the hell are they today? And some of them, One or two of them I have actually run into or kept in contact with for a couple of years, but I haven't seen them for a while. Actually, I haven't seen any of these people for a couple of years. But, man, it just brought back such memories. And I was really disappointed with myself that I didn't keep my 7th and 8th grade yearbooks. I know I thought I had them at one time, but I did a search and I can't find them, so I don't know what happened to them. They must have gotten lost in the, you know, when you get rid of all this crap, eventually you move and stuff sitting around forever. You don't want to keep this crap around. And I still have a big box of crap that I need to get rid of. But oh, how that book brought back memories of 7th and 8th grade. Unbelievable. And now on to another topic. I've been having this issue with my car lately. It's not a major issue, but let me explain. When I drive to work each morning, I back my car into my parking space. Well, starting, I think it was Monday when I backed into my parking space, as I put the car in reverse to back into my parking space, the brake light came on. And I'm thinking, I didn't put the brake on, so I'm like jiggling the handle of the brake and pushing it down and over again to make the light go off, and it doesn't go off. Excuse me. And I'm thinking, why in the hell is the brake light on? I have no idea what's going on with it. So then, of course, I turn the car off and the brake light goes off, which I expected it to do. And then the next morning when I came home from work, the brake light was off the whole time. But then the next morning, Tuesday morning, when I drive to work, the brake light is off. But when I got into the car, I put the brake off and the light went off. I drive to work again, then put the car in reverse to back into my parking space, and the brake light comes on again. And that's happened now 4 days in a row, and I don't know why it keeps happening. So, but you know, obviously I figured out that something in the process of putting the car in reverse is making this brake light come on, and I have no idea why. And as long as I'm not driving with the brake on, I am certainly not going to take my car to the dealer just to find out why this brake light comes on for a brief, you know, 20 seconds or 10 seconds to back into my parking space. It's probably even less than that. But it makes me think that, damn it, I've got to start thinking about getting a new car for real, because my car is 4 years and 3 months old, and it's about the time where things start happening on your car where the repairs are going to start costing you big bucks. And I do not want to spend big bucks on repairs on my car. I'd rather just trade it in and get a brand new car and not have to deal with all these repairs. Because the same thing happened to the boyfriend in his car. At the 4 year, 6 month mark, he had to replace the transmission, he had, you know, replace the brakes, and all this kind of stuff was going on, and I do not, and he was spending gobs of money on his car, and I am not going to have that happen, because I know that I want to get a new car, and this car just has to last a couple more months. I know I've talked about this many times before, but I definitely want to get a new car this summer, and get either the hybrid or a very fuel-efficient car. Because I'm really sick of this, well, sick of the gas mileage, but I do have to say that the price of gas has gone down. I paid $2.99, so that's 6 cents cheaper than it was the last time I got gas. Even so, it still cost me $39 to fill up. But anyway, so little things are going to start happening. Oh, we have a call, so let's take this call. It's from Mark. Hello?
Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine. Thank you. For my listeners, this is Mark from the Remarkable Palate Podcast.
Howdy.
What's new?
Oh, not much. I just I saw that you were online and you said, call me, I'm recording a show. So
I am.
I know that sometimes you will open up your Skype and see a bunch of us on there that aren't actually really on there, but I'm actually on there.
Yeah, I do see that. You're not in the away mode or anything.
No, I got home just about an hour ago from a cook day at a client's house, and I'm responding to emails and writing, you know, doing all the work that I have to do after work. Yeah, so I'm just doing all.
Good for you. I actually haven't listened to your show yet today.
And you know what? You don't have ADD.
What? What'd you say?
Oh, dear, how dare you? No, just kidding. I said
I haven't listened to it yet.
Dare you?
It's on my podcast. It's on my iPod.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you said, how dare you? I can hear you.
No, I know. No, I understand. You don't have all day to listen to podcasts. You have to be with the youngins.
Exactly.
On the other hand, on days when I'm in the kitchen cooking for clients, I can load up my iPod and strap it on and just listen to a bunch of shows. So I get to catch up. I listened to you today. I listened to Wanda Wisdom talking to Reagan. I listened to Madge and all that craziness. And then I listened to my food type podcast that I listen to on a daily basis.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know who was on Wanda today? John Ong.
Oh, was that today? Okay.
Yeah. So you were listening to the one from yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me go and look right now and see if I can update it then and get the John. Because I remember hearing her mention that she was going to have John Ong.
Yeah.
John Ong on.
John Ong on. Yeah. Yeah. And it was so cool.
Hold on. Let me look at Lucky Bitch and see.
Yeah, she actually wrote a little paragraph there about what they talked about and stuff.
Okay, but I'll download it right now. Oh, there it goes. It's downloading right this instant.
It was a very interesting show. John Ong was talking about, you know, how he got into podcasting and, like, the whole podcasting community, everything. It was a really good show.
Wait, spoiler alert.
Right, spoiler alert. Well, most people listen to it on the same day it's posted.
Well, no, what happens, because on days when I have to cook for certain clients, depending on where they are in town, I have to get up earlier or later. And I always, every morning, I'm so weird about my iPod stuff, I go to iTunes and I download all the latest stuff. It might not have been posted at the moment that I downloaded it.
That totally makes sense.
And there's some shows that, you know, if I don't get them in the morning, I'm jonesing for them, you know.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as I get home, I try to download them.
Right.
Adam Curry sometimes doesn't put his show up right away in the morning, and sometimes. And I, you know, another show that I listen to daily is The Daily Breakfast. Are you familiar with it?
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
It's Father Roderick's show. He's a priest in the Netherlands who has the StarQuest podcasting network, and he does several different shows. One of them is called The Catholic Insider. And one of them is called The Daily Breakfast. And then he does, like, these really geeky sci-fi type things, you know, like The Secrets of Star Wars and The Secrets of Harry Potter and all this stuff. And he's an interesting guy. I think, you know, anyone, he gives an interesting perspective. Obviously, he's a Catholic priest, and he comes from that perspective. But I got to tell you, if I had had interesting, cool Catholic priests like that when I was a youngin', then I might not have had such negative associations with the church, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I think he's doing a great service to, you know, out there, which is to give an interesting face to the Catholic Church, you know.
Yeah, I don't have any more space in my day to listen to any more podcasts. I just listen to way too many. And I haven't listened to, because all the ones that were posted today, because I check them at like 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, something like that.
Is that when you get up?
Yeah. Well, actually, I get up at 4:30, but
I'm just going to bed at 4 o'clock.
Oh my god. Well, that's about the time that I'm doing the updating on the iTunes. And like today, there was, of all the podcasts I listened to, there was 5.3 hours of podcasts, and I just didn't have enough time to listen to them today. And I, you know, want to get all my show done so that I can finish listening to them, because I still have yours to listen to and Special Delivery Marks to listen to. Those are the two that I just didn't get to today.
Well, mine is a weekly show, so you have all week to listen to it.
And that's exactly. And same thing with Special Delivery Mark. He doesn't post all the time, so I have time to listen to it, you know, between now and the next time he posts. So.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of these daily shows, I just sort of, you know, if I miss a day, no biggie, you know.
Yeah,
I listen to the most current one, and then if they're talking about something on the current show that happened in the previous show that sounds interesting, then I'll go listen to that one.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Well, do you listen to The Daily Purge at all? With
I actually subscribe to it per your recommendation, but I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Oh, you need to, because
I have one or two episodes in there. I just haven't had a chance to get to it.
Well, today was their 50th show, and I called in and left a message about where I listened to their show and stuff, and I didn't think they really knew anything about me, and they said, oh, we love you, Archer, you know, like they know who I was, because I'm thinking that I don't think most of the queer podcasters even know who I am.
But repeat after me. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it,
people love me.
You need to stop with this self-deprecating thing.
I know.
It's not sexy, my dear.
Today I do feel better about it because John Ong mentioned me on Wanda's show, and so did John Michael Haas and John Lindley, or
whatever their names are. Everyone knows who you are. Everyone, this whole thing, it's... People are going to start thinking you're being falsely modest to try to get comments.
Oh, no. No, that's not what I'm looking for. No.
I know you're not. I know you're not. I'm just kidding.
Well, let me ask you this, because this was going to be my next topic, and you can join in on this. Because actually, I was in the middle of recording a show, but that was a good point for you to come in. Do you know that tonight is the finale of American Idol?
I do, but you know what? It's also the finale of my show.
Sorry. Well, I was just wondering if you follow that at all.
You know what? No.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me sick. Really, the whole, all of. I mean, and here it's interesting. You know, I think we have this opportunity to just completely reject the old media and what it represents.
Right.
But yet we're not doing that.
No.
You know, we've got this new media and, you know, we're involved in this new media and there's people who are listening, yet we're still sucked in with that old stuff. And of course, here I'm talking about Lost, right? But I think the whole American Idol phenomenon, it's so prefab and it's so empty and fake, and there's so much talent in the world, but it's not, you know, you're not going to find it in these kinds of channels. And
right.
These channels reward not creativity and originality, but how do you fit into something that can sell? It's that old Broadway thing of, well, you know, it's hard to get backers for a new Broadway show because it's not proven. You know, it's this new commodity that's not proven. That's why you see all these revivals on Broadway, because they know that it would sell because it sold before.
In the past, right.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say...
And I hate that whole idea that, you know, it's tough. It's tough to take a risk on new stuff.
Well, I was going to say something similar to that in the fact that I was going to say that I didn't really even realize that the American Idol was ending tonight until I saw it on CNN.com that Idol was ending tonight. And I'm like, I have not been following this at all.
I have a lot of friends who follow it, and I just like, why? I mean, when you have so many opportunities to listen to really great artists, either live or, sorry for the noise, that's my dog chasing a water bottle around the room.
I'm telling you, that dog does his best to get on every show I have.
I know, he's an attention hog. Actually, interesting quick side diversion of that. When we first went to go get him from the breeder, there was a small litter of him and his brother. He's a miniature pincher, and he's red, and his brother is black and tan. The mother is red. And we brought the camera out because we were, you know, looking at the dogs, and we were look at the little puppies. That flash went off, and the mother literally stepped on her two puppies to jump up to the front to get her picture taken. So I know that it runs in the family.
Yeah.
He's very much an attention hog.
That's
so anyway.
So cute. Well, no, I was just going to say that, I was just going to mention that I haven't been following this, that when American Idol comes on each season, I watch the first couple shows where all the people make idiots of themselves. And then that's it. I don't follow it at all.
That's the only entertaining part. Yeah, because,
right.
Again, the whole thing is that, you know, these people are just trying to fit into this prefab idea of what an entertainer should be, and none of them, not one so far, has been even remotely an idol. That's remotely interesting. I mean, they're
Kelly
talented.
Clarkson.
They can sing, but Kelly Clarkson, hello, no. Can you say no talent, no personality?
Well, but I'm saying that she has gotten into the business. She's made a name for herself,
right? Because she's part of that machine. See, that's the irony. The machine is created to perpetuate itself.
Right.
And those people that fit into that will become part of that machine, and it works.
Right.
You see?
Well, these
so
two.
She did everything she needed to do to fit into the machine.
Right.
And of course, if you. The irony is that, you know, they're looking for a recording contract by the same production company that's producing the show. And so then they get tied into these contracts with these people. So it's all a game, and it's all
it
silly.
Is.
And, you know, more and more I think about a lot what Madge Weinstein says, which is all of this is really just there as a distraction. And I'm, you know, I've never been much of a conspiracy theorist that way, but it starts to make sense. Start to think the whole PR and the Hollywood and the entertainment thing is all, you know, because now all these companies are owned by these giant corporations. And it makes you wonder, maybe it's true. Maybe all of it is designed to distract us from what's really going on so that we don't pay attention. You know, so many people are paying attention to American Idol. I bet you if you go out and do one of those Jay Leno things, half the people can tell you the names of the two finalists, but if you say, "Where's Darfur?" they'll say, "Huh?"
Exactly. I am sure that's the case. And actually, I didn't know the names of them either. I was going to say, on the CNN site, they say there's Catherine McPhee and Taylor Hicks, but they show a picture. Right. They show a picture of them, and I was going to say about what you were just saying a minute ago, that the only one that actually fits into the mold of this machine is the Catherine McPhee. If you look at the picture, there's no way that Taylor Hicks guy is going to win. I mean, in terms of the whole publicity machine that will get person out there, she'll be the one.
And then every once in a while, you'll get someone who will be outside of that norm, and then
right,
and
just
then
to,
it'll be the old, oh, look, it's true, anyone can make it in America.
Yeah, what's the big fat black guy's name?
Ruben,
yeah. See? Yeah. That's the example.
Yeah, I at least know who he is. But that's the thing, is that I think that there are enough of these stories that have us all convinced that, oh, you know, you too can make it in America. And I think that there's so many people who, I mean, and I am a firm believer in the American dream. I am one of the most patriotic people around.
Well, and you're a good example
for the right
of
reasons,
it, too.
I think that you have to, if you work hard and you have creativity and you have passion for your subject, then you can do well in America. But so many people buy into this dream that somehow you can just get discovered.
Right.
You can be rich and you can be famous just because you deserve to. Like, somehow you deserve to just because you want to, as opposed to
hard work.
Hard work, or really, honestly, the vast majority of people don't deserve to be famous.
Well, that's true too.
You know, what makes you so interesting that I should watch you on TV or listen to you? And you know, I mean, granted, okay, here we are again. We're podcasters who sit here and just put our stuff out. But at least
I'm not looking
that's
for
a,
fame.
That's the kind of medium where the people who are attracted to what you're talking about will choose to listen to you.
Exactly.
And your numbers will literally reflect that. I mean, if people aren't interested in what you're saying, then they're not going to listen.
And
those who are interested will.
Right. And I'm not looking for fame or fortune or a job or anything. I just like to do it. It's just fun.
Yeah. So. Well, it is a lot of fun.
Well, on that note, I have to end this show because it's going on 27 minutes for my show. So.
Alrighty.
But thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you helping me get through my last topic there of American Idol. I appreciate it. You bring up some good points, too, by the way. So,
thanks
a lot for calling.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Oh, and wait, can I quickly confess that I think Simon is a little bit sexy? Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. That's a whole nother show.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty, bye-bye. Oh, that was always fun. It's always fun to talk to Mark, Chef Mark of the Remarkable Palate Podcast. All right, boys and girls. So, let's see. Tomorrow's Thursday, and I'm not sure. Wait a minute. Today's Thursday. What am I talking about? Today is Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday, and I'm not sure if I'll have a show as usual. You'll just have to tune in and see. But in any case, keep those birthday wishes coming. And until next time, boys and girls, bye. Usher.